B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
It's the 5 o'clock hour. It's the Mike Missinelli Show on a really brisk day today as far as calls go. And it's easy to see why. It was the Eagles in a total embarrassing loss yesterday. The 5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Guided Door and Window. You'll get 20% off all windows and doors with no money down, up to 3 years to pay it off interest free. Call Guided Door and Window today. The number's 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. All right, before we get to our next guest, I just want to go over these numbers. I know Jaws knows these numbers. So yesterday, Carson Wentz, wind pressure, 15 dropbacks, 8 sacks, 6 incompletions, 1 completion, 0 throwaways. On those 15 plays, Eagles lost 52 yards. The QBR, which Jaws is well aware of, perfect QBR is 100, and average QBR is 50. Carson Wentz versus Washington, 14.2, the worst of any week one starter. So let's bring him in. He's the great Ron Jaworski. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. And Jaws, it's a story of the coach and the quarterback, and I know you've had a chance to review. What was your reaction about what happened yesterday?
It was not a good day, Mike. There's a real bold statement. Certainly did not expect to see the kind of performance I saw from the Eagles offense. You know, we all know these are crazy times right now. But I thought going into this game, the Eagles had a huge advantage in the coaching staff and a veteran quarterback based on, you know, what was going on with training camp and off-season programs and workouts. You would think a veteran head coach with a veteran coaching staff with a veteran team would have had a huge advantage in this game. It did not play out that way. And clearly, you know, I would say it's probably the worst game I've seen out of Carson Wentz. Ball placement, inaccurate throws, some fundamental breakdowns in mechanics. It just wasn't a sharp day despite an absolutely incredible start. I thought he was very good early, but boy, with a buck 44 left in the clock, as I'm watching the tape and I see, you know, knowing the outcome, I see, wow, 17-0, a buck 44, worked this clock down, maybe another score, and he throws an out route to the inside, and it went all downhill after that.
Jaws, it's confusing to a lot of people how a guy who can start off like that can totally break down. Now, this is his fifth year in the league. How do you explain that?
Yeah, I can't. In fact, you know, that's why I thought this was a big year for Carson. You know, the fifth year in this system, in Doug's system, you know, solid veteran guys around him. I felt very confident he was going to have a big season. All reports are, you know, it's been he can only go on reports right now because we don't have the opportunity to go to camp and see what's going on and see how things are playing out. But clearly, I expected big things, and the way the game started, 17-0, Eagles dominating on both sides of the football. It just seemed like, you know, after that interception, which was a poor throw. I mean, it's a deep comeback at 20 yards off a 7-step drop, and you throw it where your guy can get it, low and outside only. And he throws it high and inside, it's picked off, and it seemed from that point on, it snowballed. The Washington football team got some confidence, and, you know, Carson never regained his.
Talking to Ron Jaworski. Now, Ron, listen, fans react. We know they react. But they're also, in this town, pretty smart fans. And one of the conclusions that they're reaching is that they are so down on this quarterback to this conclusion. He's not the guy. Now, speak to that. What do you think at this stage right now? Is that reasonable to say he's not the guy? Or is it just one game that we can go, he's going to come back?
No, I think it's unreasonable to make that statement based on, you know, a bad half of football. And it was a bad half of football. And, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat that in any way. And you don't expect that, from the leader of your team, from a guy that almost 30 minutes had a flawless game and made a mistake. And then it just, you know, the guys that become great quarterbacks in this league just brush that off, you know, and they get back and keep firing and they don't miss a beat. He had a strong you know, surged last season and led the football team. And you can't discount that. He played great down the stretch last year. And you know, I've always said my only negative about Carson has been availability. I always thought he had great ability. And, you know, he just wasn't healthy in big games. And that was evidenced by the Seattle game last year. But I thought coming into the season, you know, the veteran, they surround him with more speed. And although, you know, the offensive line certainly was disappointing yesterday. But I thought the weapons around him and, you know, the running game was non-existent. And, you know, I could harp on that all along because I think that my one complaint about Doug a lot is he forgets the running game. You know, in the game you're up 17-0, you call 50 pass plays and only 17 runs is unconscionable. And I know I've said this to you, Mike. I think back, as you know, Dick Vermeil is a dear friend of mine, and we talk football all the time. And he would tell me when he had the greatest show on turf in St. Louis, when they won the Super Bowl, and Mike Martz was calling the plays, and the first thing coach would always say, you know, after about two series, pass-happy Mike Martz would start throwing the ball over the lot, and he'd go up to him and say, 28, Marshall Faulk, get the running game going. You know, so you have to have balance on offense, and the Eagles, by some craziness yesterday, yeah, lost their balance with a lead of 17-0.
There's so many little things we can talk about. Least of which, though, they left themselves kind of barren at the running back position. And that goes to the front office in their preseason prep. But let's talk about the offensive scheme. They were obviously getting dominated up front. Their offensive line was a novice right side and a guy who they just had thrown back at left tackle who's 38 years old. You could see it with your own eyes they were getting overpowered. Now, 8 sacks is 8 sacks, and I know he's responsible for some of them. But why didn't the offensive scheme give in to that weakness and change it up a little bit? I mean, you're a quarterback. You see what's going on out there. Why not change it up?
You know what, I actually, you know, when I went to the tape, Mike, after watching the game on television, I kind of sensed that. But, and you just said it, Carson was holding on to the football. There were outlet passes. There were dump offs. Well, you know, when you're dropping back, you got to have a clock in your head. And the strength of the Washington football team was that defense line. And everyone that understands football knew that was their strength. 4 number one draft choice on that defensive line with great depth. And this is an Eagle offensive line that clearly had a lot of questions coming into this game and even more at the end of this game. You mentioned Jason Peters. I mean, I don't know how much he's got left in the tank. If he's your best old lineman, he didn't play that way yesterday. You know, maybe he'll rebound. But the thing is, I thought the biggest thing was Carson was holding on to the football and not getting rid of it when he felt that pressure. I thought they tried a number of different things. You know, they went maximum pro, tried some shot plays. They tried the power running game. They tried the option running game. They tried the quick passing game. But give credit to Washington's defensive line. And Carson didn't feel that pressure and get rid of the football when he had to. He was holding on to the football.
It's clear that they need to get Lane Johnson and Miles Sanders back to complete whatever they are on offense. But next week, they got another elite defensive line that could overpower them. So, like, what do you see about next week and how they have to play this game?
Yeah, this is not the defensive line you want to see after that performance. This guy, Aaron Donald, has dominated the NFL for the last 3 years. I mean, some people would say not only the defensive MVP, but team MVP. He can go in there and take over a game and then pick up Floyd from Chicago, a number one pick a few years ago. They have a presence on the defensive side of the football, the Rams do. So this is going to be no picnic on Sunday. And if the Eagles play like they played yesterday, they're going to be 0-2. Plain and simple.
I'm looking at this this wide receiver situation, which is like DeSean Jackson plays 50% of snaps, and his explanation was it's like load management or whatever it is. And then he's got the two young kids. And listen, I know they've got speed and they're athletic and they can run go routes, but like did they have them in the right patterns yesterday? They didn't look like they knew how to run those routes.
Yeah, there was some opportunities in the passing game. Carson did not get them the football. They had some crossing routes available. Carson threw behind three receivers. Those two outcuts that were both intercepted were on the quarterback. They were thrown to the inside where they have to be thrown away from the defender. They were not. You know, but everyone understands it takes time to develop harmony between a quarterback and his receivers. It doesn't happen without preseason games, without an off season. It takes time. And you could just see yesterday there was no timing, and I think a lot, you know, I'm not making excuses, I won't do that, but certainly the what is going on this year in 2020 with the lack of, you know, off-season, the lack of mini camps, the lack of training camp, the lack of contact, the lack of preseason games, you know, a lot of guys, and we heard all the reports, oh, you ought to see these guys in training camp. Yeah, they're there in t-shirts and shorts, you know. There's a big difference, Mike, as we know. They're running around, they look fast, they look quick, they're catching footballs, but the minute someone hits you on the side of the head or in the mouth, it's a whole different ball game right now. And that's kind of what happened yesterday. Those young guys, it weren't the bright lights and it wasn't the 70,000 people. It was NFL talent that you were up against. And you could see some of these young receivers weren't quite ready for it.
I know this is a crystal ball question. I'll let you out on this note. Is this team going to be okay, or is that game a big alarm?
You know, I've seen losses before, and I've tried to explain them, but this one, to take your term, is a big alarm. There were some breakdowns in a lot of phases of this Eagle football team yesterday. And by the way, the team that beat them is not a very good football team. And when you have a 17-0 lead, and you can't hold on to that lead, and look like the Eagles looked in the second half, and now I didn't look at the defense side of the tape yet, but I looked at the offensive side, looked at each play probably 8 to 10 times. I was just like, I was getting angry as I was watching it. But to answer your question, I'm alarmed right now.
All right. Ron, it's always a pleasure, man. And we'll have to follow. This is a really strange situation. We didn't expect
very, very
this.
Strange. Very
all
strange.
All right, man. Thank you. We'll appreciate
all right.
it.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Ron Jaworski, of course, you can hear the Ron Jaworski Show on Wednesdays from where he's doing it at his golf courses.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.